Talks. Biggs Time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs Time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs Time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we're just kind of trying to understand what was said yesterday. It was weird, wasn't it? Because everything was on Zoom. No one was in person. And I don't know. I mean, it was just a strange day. A lot of players seemed to be openly questioning some of the coaching decisions made in that game, whether that's good or bad. And I don't think it's good. What's your take on how much criticism and how open the players are about the fact that they've quizzed with the coaches?
Yeah, I mean, I think things could have been done differently there at the end. They could have used and probably should have used a different strategy on the penultimate play of the game, the free 13-yard out to Terry McLaurin. So if players can question that in a respectful manner, which I certainly think they did. I don't know that that's a negative for the coaching staff any more than, like, they didn't play it right, you know? And they also could have taken a timeout after that just to, okay, guys, here's what we got. They had three of them in their pocket. You don't get to carry them over to next week. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that that happened because they've got, you know, some guys that carry themselves with some confidence, and it's certainly not good for them. I don't know that the team as a whole. I don't know that it's necessarily a negative. I just the more I kind of look at this and think about the play and what happened, they shouldn't have allowed the 13-yard out. They should have prevented the ability for Washington to get a play that moves the sticks, or in this case, does just a little bit more than that with only 6 seconds remaining in the game. The guy didn't have the arm to get it to the end zone. If he converts to Hail Mary, like Matt Eberflus suggested, the guy wasn't 100%. They still should have had a better executed Hail Mary play, but if you're going to beat up Eberflus for one thing and you can only pick one thing, I think it's a poor strategy on that penultimate play.
Okay, I want to pick on him for another thing, because Cole Kmet gave voice, Brad, to the idea that during the bye week, the Bears didn't practice in a way that reflected a commitment to
They were off during the bye.
No, he meant last week.
During practice. Okay. Cole Kmet, highly respected veteran player, guy who's probably going to be a future analyst in the NFL in Chicago or elsewhere. He gave voice and said the Bears did not practice in a way that they should have, and he attributed that to maybe why Sunday didn't go the way it should have gone. That's an indictment of the coaching staff as well. Aside from the strategy issue, which is debatable, what's not debatable is you can't have a player questioning the effort level of practices, or you shouldn't, when they're off to a 4-2 start, they seem like they relaxed.
Yeah, and that's an indictment of the coach, and that's an indictment of his teammates too, right? Because those are the guys that take advantage of a situation maybe when the coach isn't pushing them as maybe they need to be pushed. And you know, pro athletes really shouldn't need to be pushed a whole lot, is my opinion. Like the really good ones, those are self-starters before they even have a foot out of bed. Like those guys don't need someone trying to motivate them And that's unfortunate. And that's perhaps a sign that they got a little big-headed with that three-game winning streak over some just dreadful opponents. And the Rams aren't dreadful, but Matthew Stafford had both hands tied behind his back without Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. So you have to learn and understand how to handle prosperity in the National Football League. Like, first you need to learn how to win. Then you got to figure out how to handle prosperity. And obviously, if what Cole said is accurate, then that's something that they're going to have to figure out at Hallis Hall the next time they can get a little prosperity going, because after the next two ball games, the schedule turns significantly more difficult, and they in no way, shape, or form can overlook the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday.
Brad, I'm curious, when you look at where they're at on the offensive line, how do you envision them lining up? I would imagine that Nate Davis not only goes from the inactive list to the full participation list, I think he might have to play. And I'm curious if you can tell us anything about how quickly a Larry Borum can be back. Are they going to start dealing with Ryan Poles' return, open his window up? What can you tell us about some of the moves that will come tomorrow? We don't know yet until Wednesday what the injury status is of some of these guys. There's a story out there that maybe things weren't as bad for Braxton Jones, but I don't believe he'll be playing this week.
Yeah, the Braxton Jones thing is considerable, because we saw what happened when he went out of the lineup and Karan Amagaji, first taste of the NFL at left tackle, was probably an eye-opening experience for him. If Jones cannot play this Sunday, my hunch is that and this is just a hunch, this is one option, maybe Matt Pryor goes out to left tackle. Pryor had been a swing tackle for them in training camp. However, if they don't want more moving parts than they're already going to have, with Tevin Jenkins potentially out, they could activate Larry Borum, and I think there's a decent chance he returns to the 53-man roster by the end of the week. After having 1 week of practice under his belt coming back from the high ankle sprain, they can put Borum out there at left tackle, and then they've got to, you know, figure out what they're going to do at left guard, because Bill Murray's hurt, so that could be Nate Davis right there. They could put Nate Davis in at right guard and slide Pryor to left guard. I mean, they've got more moving parts than they want. Bill Murray's got a pec injury. But I agree with you. I think Nate Davis goes from inactive to most likely starting. And this is the kind of thing that probably saves his job, as they got healthy on the O-line. I think most expected that he would be eventually released. And he would have been paid one way or the other, because it's fully guaranteed. So he'll have to work to get the pay. But Bates, as far as Ryan Bates goes, I think the hope is that his return to practice window opens tomorrow. And considering the time he's missed, maybe they want that to be at least 2 weeks on the practice field. But everything for a few weeks now had pointed to Bates getting back on the practice field this Wednesday.
All right, Brad, back to the big picture. So yesterday we heard from Kevin Byard, Cole Kmet, and Jalen Johnson. All three respected veterans said things that undercut the authority or questioned the authority and leadership ability of their head coach. It sounded to me very Tressman-esque. It reminded me of 2014. I don't know if it reminded you of that. How big of a crisis is this for Matt Eberflus in terms of having players openly question his leadership and judgment?
Yeah, it doesn't remind me of the Tressman situation, because I think that was just off the rails. From the beginning of that season as well. I don't get quite that same vibe here. I think the he's got to put a plan in front of those players for this week against Arizona that's going to inspire some confidence and belief, and they're going to have to get at it because the way this division is set up, they really can't afford to be chasing any more than they already are if they're going to think about doing something in January in the postseason. So if they can get the next two, they get the 6-3, which 6-3 would be a nice record to have through nine games before they dive into division play. Maybe they've got a shot, but yeah, you've got to, maybe he takes a different spin with the players than he did the media in terms of how he handled things there at the end. Maybe he says, you know what, guys, if I had it to do over again, we would have had a different call on that penultimate play. If I had it to do over again, we would have used a timeout before the Hail Mary and made sure we had everyone on the same page. But they're all to blame, though. The players executed poorly on offense for three quarters. Defense blew it on the big play with one guy completely checked out. It's not like those players can sit there and act like they played a fantastic ball game because that was a lousy offensive effort for three quarters. It really was.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. I agree with you. I wonder how much the offensive line issues played into that because
you look at
what was going on with Caleb Williams. Apparently he was under more pressure than he has been in any game in his young career, and he had 2.47 seconds according to Next Gen before that pressure was on him. So he had to get rid of the ball in a hurry.
And I thought he did a nice job of hanging in a muddy pocket. Like it was, that picture wasn't necessarily clean, and he was hanging in there and making some plays. But he's going to have to step up too, right?
Yep.
Like there were some throws that were missed, and hopefully that growth that they've all displayed at times is front and center again when they head out to Arizona, because I thought Arizona was going to be in trouble for that game at Miami. The Cardinals took care of business. Kyler Murray is certainly difficult to contain at times, and the Bears aren't good enough right now to just roll the helmets out there, and they're going to roll over many teams. Carolina is one of them, but Arizona is not on that list, so they're going to have to be dialed in.
What did you think of Matt Eberflus not showing any sort of regret or remorse over the decision to hand the ball to Doug Kramer on third and goal from the one, and the fact that he backed up his offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think there's another way for him to answer that. I think what he maybe could have said, and maybe it sounds better, is, hey, we've got a package of plays for this personnel grouping. We had repped this in practice for several weeks now, felt good about it. It looked good. If we had it to do over again, obviously we would have selected a different play. Like if you say that, are people going to feel great, or are they still like, you big dummy, why'd you try to do that? It didn't work. And the defense did get that quick three and out, so they got another shot. But I don't know, Dave. Like if Kramer in a handoff, it's hard to, you look at the replay, like where'd that go wrong? It's hard to tell. If Kramer scored on that play, I mean, we'd be talking about Doug Kramer getting commercials. We'd be, you know what I mean? Like,
he didn't. He fumbled. It was a terrible call, Brad. It was the worst call in the history of the Bears season.
Dave,
come on, man. Like, what's up? Who is this morning?
with your run the football Indiana background, you got to admit, if Kramer scored, you'd have been in heaven. Come on.
Yeah, but I think David is right, Brad. I mean, not only did he score, like, they lost the football. Listen, they came back. You know, Olin said this, and I thought it was the best point that was made this week, is that by blowing the end of the game, they robbed Caleb of the idea that he came back and led them to a couple of touchdowns, one with 30 seconds left,
absolutely,
and had won the game. You know, there are some good things that have happened, and that potentially was a great one. And instead, we're talking about, you know, the sky is falling, the players questioning the coach. It's going to be on his resume when they fire him. I mean, it's a disaster.
Had they scored, we would have thought and said they got away with one. Clever,
yes,
fun,
yes,
great.
Yes.
They got away with one.
Yeah, you would hope that it wouldn't be a Matt Nagy situation where you're trying to see some,
right,
you know, genius, either guy do a genius play every other weekend. Or I just, if he says all those things about it looking good in practice, we had worked on it, and I wish I would have picked a different call. Do people really feel that differently? Like, if he just says, I wish we would have picked, like really? Is that going to change the start of your day coach says that?
Okay, but you know, you can't argue that, well, you know, it was only 1 yard. I'm just saying, Brad, there's a way.
No, I know.
You don't want to come out of the thing looking like Trestman, you know, with seashells and balloons and pretending like the sky is – everything's fine.
Like when you kicked the field goal on second down and tried to justify it. When you make a bad decision, own it.
Yeah.
I think we just want Matt Eberflus to own it.
Yeah.
I just wish he would own the poor strategy, a strategy they used at the end of the first half in the same game. You know, it was on the same sideline, the same side of the field as Tyreek was on, and DeMarcus Walker's lined up, you know, practically on the the Commander's bench, because they didn't want to allow a completion to the boundary for Washington to pick up yardage and immediately stop the clock. If they do that, that Hail Mary is going to fall down at the 12-yard line or 10-yard line.
If you listen to his answer to that question, he claimed, well, then all they do is they go vertical and they throw the Hail Mary then. But then,
right,
then
he's not going to throw
the
it.
Hail Mary's
80
on
yards.
The 20-yard line.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's math.
Right.
He would have ended up at the 15-yard line.
It may have come down at the it comes down at about the 15. Then it's a tip drill, and somebody's got to scramble into the end zone. You know, they didn't play a 60-minute game. They didn't have apparently attention to the hits principle in practice during the week.
Right.
If there are more people out there than just Cole Kmet that believe in that, and they didn't have complete attention to the hits principle from all 11 players on the field for the final play of that game, we saw what happened when they don't get an extra possession, right? They did not get a takeaway in that game, and that's been important to their success as well. And so, I would think that there's going to be significant pressure this week. I don't know that the sky is falling. I get it, how things turn quickly. I certainly don't believe we've got a Trestman comparison that is appropriate at this point. I won't rule that out in the future. But they're going to have to find a way to circle the wagons up there and get the focus on the opponent in front of them, which in this case is a Cardinals team that's played really well in a couple games this year and then had a couple games that were disastrous. So hard for me to figure out what the difference is. I haven't studied them enough yet, but they're at least dangerous to the Bears.
Well, let's go, Big Z. You know, one of the horrors of the game and the way it turned out is that we never celebrated the punter. He had a hell of a game, and he's
– oh, my goodness.
Five inside the 20.
Under pressure, too.
Yeah.
Like
four inside the 10. Yeah.
The Commanders had mixed some things up, and the Bears had to go to zone blocking, and there was one that was nearly blocked, like very close, and a second one where they got – pretty good pressure, and sometimes you see, and it's natural, right? You see the punter when he's pressured, he gets a 33-yarder off, right? And you're like, well, beats the heck out of a block there. No, I thought when they drafted him that that was going to be a real extra base hit for Ryan Poles, and the guy's looked the part, hasn't he?
Like, yeah, he has.
He's dangerous.
Solid triple.
Great. It was a solid triple.
All right, Brad. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, a football man from the Chicago Tribune. You know, I love that kid. That's one of the best.
Torrey Taylor or Biggs?
No, Torrey Taylor. Oh, okay. I love Biggs, but it's not in an unhealthy fashion. Whereas my fascination with
your obsession
punter,
with the punter?
I love
maybe
that
a little
kid.
Bit.
I love the punter.
Yeah, I know you do.
I wanted the punter. I got the punter.
The Australian accent is a little much, but yeah, I know you do.
I'm not doing an impersonation. I'm just saying he punts well. Excellent. Excellent pick. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. We're going to go over a weird story connected to the Bears, and we got Coach Wanstead in the wings. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I mean, culture. I mean, we need to build a championship culture. Always, I'm a big believer that you have to be comfortable in talking about winning a championship, and not just talking about it, but putting in the work to be able to do it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Kevin Warren talking about the culture you need to win a championship, and the Bears are aware of that. And that's a beautiful choice of music. That's Lil Durk.
That's Lil Durk, which creates the optics problem for the Bears this week, among other things.
Right.
So, in the midst of the meltdown in Landover, the meltdown in Maryland, if you will, on Friday, Lil Durk was arrested in Florida as he was attempting to flee the country. In a federal complaint, according to the Chicago Tribune, Lil Durk was accused of contracting five Chicago associates in a murder-for-hire plot to kill a rival rapper known as Quando Rondo.
Yes, and this happened in 2022.
2022.
These guys flew to California. He apparently paid for the airline tickets.
Like, yes.
There's not a big mystery about it, but they killed Quando Rondo's cousin.
There was a fatal
at that point.
There was a fatality in this as a result of what they're alleging, that Lil Durk was behind this.
Mm-hmm.
Why does this matter to Bears fans? Well, Kevin Warren, who you heard talking coming in so eloquently describing the way that you build a championship culture, has aligned himself with Lil Durk. And I think if that's too strong, I'll just put it out there that Lil Durk has been a guest of Kevin Warren's at Hallis Hall. He was part of the Hard Knocks documentary on HBO.
Yeah, he was in the
He was a guest of the Bears on the field in London.
Yes.
He posed for pictures with Roger Goodell, who I think Kevin Warren introduced Lil Durk to Roger Goodell on the field. There's video that was that was sent out there by the Bears on the social media account.
Right.
Of
Kevin Warren hugging Lil Durk on the sidelines, and there's a photo of him and Roger.
Yes.
And now he's was he fleeing the country? I don't know. He was going to fly to Dubai or something. He was going to Italy. But it wasn't like he was going to Venezuela. I mean, I don't know if he was fleeing the country, but he definitely has been charged. There's 13 federal charges, including murder for hire.
Is it fair to wonder why the Bears, why Kevin Warren would choose to align himself with somebody who is in this kind of hot water legally?
He's a Bears fan. He's from Englewood.
He's a local
Bears
guy.
Fan, and apparently he's real tight with Brandon Johnson.
Oh, by
Brandon
the way.
He's the leading campaign contributor.
He contributed $150,000, which is the single largest contribution to Brandon Johnson's mayoral campaign. And Brandon Johnson was asked about his own association with Lil Durk, and he spoke strongly in defense of that and in defense of Lil Durk, I believe, in terms of assuming innocence until proven guilty, all the things that we know, all the things that we're trained to remind ourselves of. But the reason I think you wonder about this from a Bears perspective is because I think that if you go back with this stadium project, which is a $6 billion project, and there's a ambition of Kevin Warren's to build on the lakefront, despite owning the land in Arlington Heights, Brandon Johnson and Kevin Warren are like this, right? They're aligned philosophically.
Yes, yes.
Kevin Warren seems to embrace the role of being a mentor almost to Brandon Johnson, mm-hmm. and Brandon Johnson has welcomed that. It does make you wonder about the judgment or wisdom of the Bears president.
You know, here's the thing. So Lil Durk is from Englewood, and he's been charged with this, and if you Google him, you will find out that he's had, you know, kind of a rough life, and various things have happened over the years. He is claiming to be on a new path, and he's trying to overcome his past, whatever. I just wonder, if you're bringing someone onto the Bears sidelines, if you Google search him, you would like wonder, hey, wait a minute. But he hasn't tried to hide his past or anything like that.
And he's very popular, and I'm sure he's very affable, and I'm sure he's very friendly, and has been a very good friend to the Bears organization.
But
I think that at the very least, and those are fair things to point out and remember, but this is an optics problem.
We live
in a world where judgment and perception matters, and perception can affect reality. And I think when you're talking about the judgment of Kevin Warren, who is the singular guy who's driving this stadium project to remain in Chicago on the lakefront in the South Lot.
Right.
Everything about his judgment and his motivation into what may compel him to align himself with the mayor and all these things that go into it, it's fair game. Isn't it?
I wonder how the senator's son, Roger Goodell, son of a senator,
don't you?
It ain't me, man.
The NFL,
I'm no senator's son.
Carefully manicures its image.
And he's taking a photo. There's a great photo of him and Lil Durk on the sidelines.
In London, where the Bears are the ambassadors for the NFL, where they have a tremendous fan base going back to 1986. And they don't do anything accidentally when you let people on the field. These people have to be chosen. It's an optics problem.
Right.
And does that matter? Probably not. I don't know that it's worthy of, you know, too much attention, or whether or not it's not worthy of dismissal, something in between. But it is worth mentioning because of this Friday arrest that
I wonder if Kevin Warren will answer a question about it if it comes up.
Have to be asked.
Well, you would think. And I wonder if Roger even knows Quando Rondo to begin with.
I don't.
Or Lil Durk.
I would be surprised if he did. Yeah. And I do wonder if at some point in time, if this continues from the legal standpoint, what the Bears will do to distance themselves from this if they feel the need to. Because they are right now they're pretty aligned fairly tightly with the mayor of Chicago, and Brandon Johnson has been asked, there's an editorial in the Tribune this morning about why he should give the $150,000 back the way a lot of politicians do.
He's been asked if he should give that money. What's he going to do with the money? And his response was basically, he said that he was not going to pass judgment on a black man that had been arrested, not convicted, that there would be a trial. So I guess what his point is that he'll wait until there is any kind of judgment made before he gives away the campaign.
There is precedent for people returning campaign contributions that were made by people who were in legal hot water.
Or maybe he should give it to charity.
Something like that.
One of the charities he's talked about.
And the reason this is important from a sports perspective, from a Bears perspective, is because the way that politics and sports are intertwined in the stadium project. We're a week away from the election, and on election day, there's a referendum about that former governor Pat Quinn has on the ballot to vote about yes or no in terms of public subsidies for sports stadiums. It's an issue whether or not the Bears are going to build a stadium in Chicago or build on the land they own in Arlington Heights. And when you mix politics and sports, these are the kinds of things that you can't ignore. And so it's impossible to ignore this one because the optics are so awkward.
And again, I mean, you know, you've been sent the video. I've been sent the video. You know, there's a thing out there. It's a video of him and the Bears president having a hug, a little Dirk and the Bears president, and then him and Roger posing. It's there. It happened, and it's hard not to.
And the Bears were proud of this association until they weren't.
They found out he's been arrested.
Or maybe they still are. We have not heard from the Bears on this. I don't think anyone's been asked. They have not issued a statement. So to our knowledge, they are still proud of their association with Lil Durk, who was charged with a murder for hire conspiracy last Friday. Federal charges were filed.
It's a serious charge. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. It was worth pointing out.
I mean, I'm happy to talk about it. I just don't know where to go with it.
There's nowhere really to go because until the Bears issue a statement, until the NFL sees the need to issue a statement, but it is something that was out there in the news, felt like it was important to address, and we can move back to what in the world was Matt Eberflus thinking with Dave Wannstedt?
Yeah, we'll talk to Coach Wannstedt next. We can ask him what was that and what his thoughts are on how you go about coaching through that. I also want to ask Dave about the level of public criticism that the coach is hearing, not from the media, not from the fan base, but from different players questioning tactics.
And how that affects the judgment and how that affects what happens next.
What you do about that. And I want to know, would he discipline Tyreek Stevenson? Does he feel that it's over and on to Arizona? It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 seasons.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
He has the greatest mustache you've ever seen.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
Why don't you hang it out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score?
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you very much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Coach Wannstedt, and he, of course, is here in studio with us. And Dave, dare we open with a prayer? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, only if it's a Hail Mary. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no, it's, you know what? Yeah, I know we got to talk about it here today. I just hope that Tuesday is the end of it. The players come, today's a day off, game plan day. The players come in tomorrow. And seriously, that cannot be a topic of conversation.
That's naive, isn't it?
That's going to be a topic.
That's an indelible mark on this entire season and his coaching resume.
Yeah, I get all that, but they got to try to beat Arizona.
Well, that you don't want to lose two games in one game.
Oh.
And that was a bad ending to a game and a really bad way to lose a game if you lose two games over it. And by the way, they're not favorites on the road this week. They are dogs. They're getting a point and a half. That's not good. You're going to come crashing down to earth if you wind up at 500 after that game.
Yeah, absolutely. They need to – Flus needs to deal with it however he's going to deal with it today, ASAP. You know, when they come in tomorrow – I mean, this is just how I'd handle it. When they come in tomorrow, I mean, it's Arizona everywhere in that locker room, guys. I would probably go – a little bit high school Harry as far as overboard with the Kyler Murray pictures. And let's on these bulletin boards, everywhere I want Arizona, guys, so that they, you know, the outside world might be talking about this till Friday.
Well, Dave, In fairness, though, it's more than just the outside world. We heard from Kevin Byard. We heard from Cole Kmet. We heard from Jalen Johnson. We heard from DJ Moore. All four guys, respected veterans in that locker room, said yesterday things that could be construed as questioning the authority and judgment of their head coach. How would you handle that?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing, you know, and Stevenson, I mean, I'm wearing my national championship ring today, I guess, and I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for the kid because I like the kid. But the reality is, let's look at the history of these guys. I mean, when you get into the NFL, it's about 75% mental if you got the ability. This kid's got the ability.
Yep.
Okay, put that aside. But really, personal fouls, pass interference. Someone told me he busted a coverage in the game, gave up a pass play.
Yep, 61 yards.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's...
And he poked a guy. He had a personal foul. He poked a guy in the eye.
You know what I mean? There's a history here, is what I'm saying, guys. There's a history here with this guy. And unless he gets the mental part of being a professional, Don, the guy's going to... He's going to cost you. Is this any different than a quarterback throws interceptions? What do we do? Said he can't play.
Right.
Put him on a bench.
Yep.
A running back fumbles... swerving, curving, you cut him. You know what I mean? On the sidelines. Remember?
Yeah.
I mean,
my
point.
So what'd you do with Tyreek?
Would you bench him?
Coach, you got to sit him and say, listen, you know, that's right now you're detrimental to this football team winning. And you need to prove it, not just to me. This is a team thing. Flus got to make decisions for a team. But you have to prove to this football team and me and everybody in here that you're going to be the show up early, stay
Amen.
Late. You are going to bust your tail, guys.
You can't tolerate it.
I'll tell you something.
And Terrell Smith, let's not lose sight. And I know I'm jumping here. But the corner that they drafted out of Minnesota.
Is a good player.
Up 2 years ago, it was a battle with training camp. We were all there. And Flus was trying to make a decision who gets the edge. So, I mean, and I don't want to say they got a guy, but they got a guy that I think can go in and
play. Got a guy.
You know?
They got a guy.
So, I mean, I get it. But the thing is, the whole league, I mean, it's literally the number one story in the league. Everyone's talking about it. I heard Bill Belichick talking about how you defend the Hail Mary. I heard the former Steelers coach, Bill Cowher, saying you need to call a timeout there. I think everybody is being asked about it and everyone's talking about it. They all know what happened. Everyone knows what happened.
Yeah.
If you do not do something, if you don't do anything with Tyreek Stevenson, you're kind of, everyone knows you're soft as a grape.
Or tone deaf.
That you're not disciplined.
Or both.
I mean, honest to God, you almost have to do something whether you want to or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're right. I mean, you can't stick your head in the sand on this here because then it'll be the next guy, even though you say, well, not really. But you know what? Let me make this point. When I was, Chicago? No, I was at the Dolphins, and we had a player going on a repeated different circumstance, a different position, okay? And it was killing me because I was trying to make it work.
What was he doing? Like bad play or
and it was just inconsistency, inconsistency,
late
stuff in the locker room that no one knows about, never came out. You know, my point is, it was killing me as a coach. And finally, I met with our leadership, and it was Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor. I'll be honest with you, and Zach said, "Coach, we've had enough of this guy. I don't know where you're at."
Yeah.
And boy, I said, you know what? That was the best news I heard. And I got rid of him and we moved on, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping. I love DJ Moore's comment. As a captain, I have a responsibility to deal with this. So, I mean, that was a strong statement. Now, you know, they're going to love the kid and give him another chance. I get all that. But what are you doing right now to – because it's not just one player. You know, it's going to affect the entire team and the mentality.
That's a great point, Dave.
All right, we got to get to a break. We're going to come back and finish this conversation and talk about what you do with this situation. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.